I can't see, goddammit.
Now, I said last episode I might not carry on with this show, but there was something weirdly freeing about it, because this thing was just feeling really routine and boring, and like I just didn't have the energy for it. And when I'd have those shows where I would go completely batshit, I'd have a good time doing them and felt like they were funny. And when I couldn't bring that energy every time, I'd be like, well, this is fucking stupid, and it's not as good as last week's, and I got all up my ass about it, and maybe I overthought it, I don't know, but some weirdly it's just saying, okay, then don't do it anymore, kind of cleared everything out, and I still found myself kind of taking notes throughout the week, just out of routine. I think it's kind of too routine for me to quit, so I'm sure it'll get me in more trouble and cost me some more pussy, personal relationships, and other negative things, because as I've said for many years, nothing good has ever come out of me coming out to rant and rave, because you know what an unhinged, reactionary fool I am, and then have it recorded for all time, for anyone to hear as recorded evidence of me saying something I shouldn't. Like the Nixon tapes, you know what I mean? I learned nothing from history. This is what Nixon did, and it cost him everything. And here I am, you know, pretty much doing the same thing. Well, I am not a crook. And American people need to know that their commander-in-chief is not a crook. So, all right. I guess I'm doing it again. So here I am. If you're still listening, thanks. I've been a mess lately. That trip back home, I don't know what it is. I don't know if anyone else has this problem. But I don't think anyone else leads quite as solitary of a life that I lead out here. I don't have any fam out here or nothing. Got a handful of friends, but I see them, everyone, less and less, because I'm the last single buck, and everyone else is doing their thing with their fucking wives and their girlfriends. Nobody's got time for me anymore. God, I hang out with most of my comic friends now who are younger, because they got some fucking balls and they actually want it. No, I'm just kidding. But it's you know, by myself a lot. I spend probably too much time in my own head, and the only thing that keeps me straight is the routine that I have, and the struggle to stay on that routine. It's basically just my life. It's me going, fuck, I don't want to do this, this, and this tonight. I mean, the nights that I do, it's great. And I say, why don't I feel like this all the time? This is great. And but I'd say it's 50-50. Like, it'll go great, and then it won't. And I just, that's all I do. That's my life. It's just arguing with myself, going, you fucking lazy sack of shit. Why aren't you writing that Terminator prequel? Why aren't you at the gym right now? Blah, blah, blah. This kind of bullshit. Anyways, but, you know, I get it going, especially with stand-up now is really, I've been doing it on the reg for a bit, you know, a good couple months all summer and shit, and it's really become part of me life, as Bill Burr would say. You just heard the Bill Burr cackle, right? But when someone comes out here, or I go, when I throw a monkey wrench and I go on vacation, and this is why I'm starting to see why, like, guys like Norton, all these New York guys that are real institutionalized, like Jim Norton, like your Jim Nortons and your Dave Attells. Don't you fucking hate when people do that? When they, like, it's so fucking corny. It's like saying, oh, yeah, I'll have a house with a picket fence and 2.5 kids. Like, oh, you're so quirky. Oh, how do you have two? Shut up. Kill yourself. Stop trying to get attention with your fucking adverbs. But, Those guys, they don't take vacations and they don't do that stuff because it gets so, they're afraid to do it because it'll fuck their shit up. And I'm kind of almost starting to see that, because I went back, as you heard last episode, to Buffalo where I'm from. I only went for like 4 or 5 days, and by the last day I was really ready to come back here. I was like, you know what, this is a great break. I love going back there. I like just fucking turning everything off and having some Lebensraum, having the whole fucking city to my, you know, where you can move around and there's not people everywhere. You know, it's a little bit slower pace of life, which is a fucking nice change. That's where I'm from. And this shit here, big city shit, really gets to you. But usually by the last day, I'm ready to go back because I go, yeah, this is like my old life. And this is like, there's nothing for me to do. All the stuff that I really love and that keeps me going is here. For as much as LA fucking drives me nuts and aggravates the shit out of me, all the stuff that I want to do, you know, is here. It's, I can't really, you know what I mean? But when I come back, it's so hard to get back into the fucking routine. Well, it didn't help that my work was so fucked. And I worked like three, like 14-hour days in a row because the fucking place. I had to get like my personal shit done, so I'd have to like leave for like, you know, I had to just get stuff done because I was backed up or whatever. And then I'd have so much work to do because I'm the only guy I could do it. There's only three people there. I'm in charge of all the fucking equipment. No one can help me. I'm responsible for fucking all of it. And it just so happened that like practically the whole entire shop emptied and went out and then came back. And came back messy and all fucked up and dirty and just, it was a fucking nightmare. I seriously worked like three, I was just like, I don't know, I was like so fucking crazy. And I got so like depressed. And then I just started thinking like, don't worry, this won't last long. I'm just like, I don't fucking, what am I going to do? Like my life hasn't changed. It's really since 2011 is when I stopped freelancing. I got into camera rental and I have progressed almost zero. Like, I went and shot a bunch of those fucking videos and did a bunch of stuff and hoped that would turn into something, and it didn't. For as many lucky breaks as we should have had, nothing panned out. I spent a fucking ton of money on it, and I haven't made much more money. I've barely gotten any rate. I'm, like, barely surviving, and I'm like, what am I doing out here? What's the fucking use? Why am I putting myself through this bullshit? This sucks. And this is why you don't see any old people in LA, because they either died and got shot, or they realized that their fucking cockamamie stupid dream, stand-up comedy, isn't gonna work, filmmaker, and they leave. They go to Arizona, they go back home to go work for their uncle's paint shop fucking warehouse, and go back to real life. That's why there's no old people in LA. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm 40. Like, I tried. How long am I gonna go on like this? I'm like living like a first semester in fucking college kid, with like no money. I have no nothing. All my friends are doing well. All my friends back home, all my friends here, except one guy I know, are all doing great. And I'm just like sitting here like, what am I, a schmuck on wheels? I've just gone nowhere for years, and now it's just, and I'm still, I can't even get like a fucking steady girlfriend, Richard Lewis, and I'm just like, what am I? I should just go home. Fuck this. Let's go home. I can kind of do stand up there, right? I could if I really want to. I can every other weekend or something. I can go down to New York City and hit a bus. I can go to fucking Toronto. It's only a fucking hour away. I know it sounds silly, but it's like, you know, if you really got the drive, when you listen to all these old timers like Fitzsimmons and these guys, they drove for fucking hours and shit. They drove across states just to do like open mics. And I'm like, why? You know, if I really want, I can still do that. I still got that going for me. Luke, you sound like you're completely having a nervous breakdown. I mean, I go, like I said, I just spend too much time on myself, and I go through this shit time to time. This one's been pretty bad. I really hope it passed. I miss my fucking friends back. They're all my best friends are still like my best friend. I fucking miss all those fucking guys. You just don't make friends out here like you do back home. Like, I hardly even fucking see anybody anymore. So I don't know, whatever. I just sound like a big fucking crying fucking piece of shit, but the kid's having a fucking rough time. That's all I'm saying. So hopefully, I'm sure it'll pan out. Like once a year or every other year, I go through one of these like "fuck it, I quit" things. It's fucking hard doing this. There's no roadmap for this shit, and it seems like something should have happened by now, and it hasn't. So it's frustrating. Another frustrating thing. So that's it. Another frustrating thing about living here. You can't park your fucking car for 4 hours without it being fucking all but destroyed. Okay. I had to give up my parking spot for someone for a couple days. And God help me. When I'd have to park it on a street in a neighborhood nearby. And when I got up the next fucking day, it might as well have been under the fucking Gozer building where the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man exploded in Ghostbusters. Like I'm like, let's see what's all over my car today. One day it was sprinklers. I don't know what comes out of the fucking sprinklers in these fucking neighborhoods. Like it's fucking acid rain. But the entire passenger side, I'm like, I just washed the fucking thing. And I come out, and it looked like someone fucking, like, just took a super soaker full of fucking like a chocolate milkshake and shit. I'm like, what the fuck? Is this supposed to be water? What the fuck waters these plants? Isn't it other water? Why is it so fucking stainy and milky and fucking weird colored? Totally fucked my car up. First of all, I'm like, awesome. So I wiped that up the best. I know this sounds douchey. I fucking try and take care of this goddamn car, which I almost have 10,000 miles on already. Then, like, the next night, I park at another block, and I parked it under a tree. And the next day, I get up, and there is, so there's, if you park, it's like nature attacks technology, because it's mad that humanity, like, took it, like, built a city here and destroyed nature. So it gets back at you any fucking time it can, however it can. Like, you park under a tree, and there's always, like, every tree in the city has some kind of, like, shit that'll just... I've never seen like this in my life. I parked under a tree for 25 fucking years back east. And you park it in here, and it looks like a fucking... like a dump truck fucking... I don't know what. Like, there's always, like, little, like... I don't even... What do you call them? Like, little, not like... Just like little like barbs or something. I don't know, the shit that falls out of the trees, and you go, and it's all over your car, and you're like, oh, I'll just drive away, and it'll blow. And you're driving and driving, and you're doing 50 fucking miles an hour. They're all still, nothing has moved anywhere. And I'm like, okay, these are like stick, there's like some kind of sticky liquid on these fucking things, and it sticks all over your fucking car. It looks like Captain Crunch berries all over the fucking thing. And then there's these little, I don't know what this shit is, but this happens all the time, all over the city. You get these little gobs of like fucking it's clear, but it's like it's fucking slime. It's almost like petroleum jelly, and there's these little dots and gobs all over my car. It looked like speckles of water, and I'm like, what? And I go to wipe it, and it smears, and I'm like, oh my god, it's this stuff. So the tree got these little Captain Crunch berries all over, and then just fucking like this like gobby fucking liquid shit. Like, every once in a while, it'll happen in my car, like, you roll your window down and roll it up, and it's all, it looks like fucking, like Vaseline, the little drops of, I don't even know how to describe it. I don't know where it comes from, what the fuck it is. That sounds healthy, don't it? I'm glad that's in the air and landing on things. Is it toxic? I don't fucking know. The toxicity of a city, of a city. They suck. Can't park your car anywhere. It's fucking aggravating. You can't keep this fucking car clean for 12 motherfucking hours. I practically wash it twice a week so I can continue to not get any fucking pussy in it. Sorry, this is the Exercise My LA Demons episode, right? Fucking bear with me. Speaking of, I'm talking to this... I start talking to a black. I met a black online. She was fucking cute. She was like fucking, like 20. Yeah, I know. And she was woke, guys. Quote, unquote, she was woke, right? And I'm like, okay, try to rein it back, because I really want to get in this girl's ass. She was adorable. And we're messaging. And we started talking about movies and I was talking for a couple days. It was going okay. She wasn't super hardcore, but she was, like I said, she was woke. And we started talking about, she's like, well, I like Tarantino too, although he clearly racist. I'm like, how is he clearly racist? Is he really? I know he's written some controversial stuff in his movie. I know he's used the N-word kind of liberally and maybe offensively, but do you really think that makes him clearly racist? Do you think he hates black people? Do you think, and I'm saying this as diplomatically as possible. You don't want to, because I don't want to be a hardliner, and I want to fuck. And I'm just like, you know, he protested with, like, Black Lives Matter, right? And she just starts, like, she just goes, she writes UGH, ugh, and then she writes bye. That's it. This is the attitude of people. It's like, if you even disagree with their fucking point of view, you're a racist, and now you're out of their life. They cannot hear in any alternative opinion but their own, because they're right. They're the good guy. They're the superheroes fighting against this giant, just fucking tidal wave of racism that just is just oppressing and crippling America right now. There's so many racists out there oppressing everyone, and I must be. I didn't know the whole time I was talking to a racist. He don't think Tarantino a racist like I do. So goodbye, mister. Must be a racist. Great fucking attitude. Great attitude. You're really fucking way to not eat into all the fucking media's bullshit and dance to the goddamn fiddle that there's fucking mainstream media is playing for you fucking idiot. Oh my god, we are fucking doomed. We are. So speaking of fucking doomed, I have turned a corner. I was never a fan. I've said this many times. I'm not a Trump supporter. I was a Trump tolerator. And most of it was just because of reactions from idiots like this, that just to have no other point of view except for what fucking Stephen Colbert tells them, or whatever the fuck. But this, I mean, Trump has somewhere in the last week has completely lost his mind. Like, this guy is fucking, his Twitter is out of control. It's like a 14-year-old girl high on fucking, on acid has taken over to the shit he's saying. I'm like, you're the fucking president of the United. What are you doing? What are you doing tweeting this stuff? He is obsessed over this NFL shit. I can, and this is the thing about him. It's always like, his heart seems to be in the right place. I understand he's like a fucking patriot. I know he's an old, crusty conservative white. I know he's a douche. He is a douche. But a lot of times, like, his heart's in the right place, but somewhere between his brain and his mouth, it gets fucked up, and he says something so stupid. But he won't stop with this NFL shit. And he won't stop with this. Now he's going crazy with this fake news, and he's saying he wants to start, like, revoking stations that don't like him. Like, NBC's fucking, like, license and all this shit. I'm like, are you fucking crazy? What are you, fucking Joseph Stalin? What the fuck do you think you're doing? And then this shit with Kim Jong-un, with North Korea. Like, he's almost like, he's like taunting this guy to fucking nuke us. And this is the scary part. Trump has nothing to lose. If we get nuked, they're going to hit, they'll probably hit L.A., which is anti-Trump ground zero. And where he would lose all his votes. He would love it if we got nuked. No, they're not going to nuke him. Even if they sent one at the White House, he's got a bunker to go down. It'll be fine. He's not, he doesn't have nothing. It's just like a fucking who's got a bigger dick war. And I mean, well, and on top of that, he'll be like, well, I'm the guy, I wiped out North Korea. I took care of those guys. Like he's a tough guy. Meanwhile, I'm sitting over here and I'm a fucking pile of ashes. We have to wait till you die and smoke your ashes. Keith, we can't do any more drugs because you already fucking did them all. But that, I mean, that, he is provoked and just like calling him names like they're on a fucking school. I'm like, what? What are you doing, asshole? Are you fucking... I understand they have to be dealt with, but, like, really, this is how you're going to handle it? Like, it's, like, so unfucking president. I kind of liked him for that he was, you know, not cut from the same fucking stiff politician cloth, and you kind of didn't know what he was going to say, and he said stuff that was a little politically incorrect. I, you know, a lot of it was dumb, but it was still kind of nice to be like, you don't know what this dude's going to say. No one owns this fucking guy. You know, he doesn't owe anybody. He got himself elected. He was rich. All this shit, but... Now it's just, he's getting so fucking reckless. I'm about done with this fucking guy. I would love, if he fucking resigned, I don't know, I'm not even gonna lie, I don't know shit about Mike Pence. But I feel like he has more sanity than this guy. And like more and more people are just defecting from his, like Republicans and shit are just leaving. I follow tons of right-wingers and all these people. And like a lot of these, like even like Ann Coulter. And these are staunch fucking pro-Trump. And even they are really, they're being pushed. They're being as diplomatic as possible, being like, maybe you shouldn't be tweeting this, president, and shit. But he's even losing them. Like, he's really fucking going off the rail. Like, this guy's fucking starting to fucking scare the shit out of me now. So I don't know. But, yeah, I've really had it. I'm not saying I'm not going to jump on, like, the Mark Maron bandwagon and be, like, rah-rah anti-Trump. But it's just like... Because I think those people jumped off the handle before the guy wasn't even in fucking office yet, and they were freaking out. I at least gave him some time to be a fucking retard, and now he is, and now I'm fucking, I'm about done with that motherfucker. So I'm kind of starting to see the outrage again. Like, I know they're all overreacting dopes, and they were from minute one, but now there's actual evidence. You know, there's actual facts and evidence there, and it's not just emotion based like it is for the entire. Left and liberals, you know, I have more of a Mr. Spock in me where I wait to see tangible results and things I can quantify, not just, oh, my feelings and my emotions. Yeah, don't look at facts and figures. Just whatever your gut reaction is, because that's responsible. That's how adults fucking act, fucking assholes. Anyways, he stinks, and I hope he goes away in some form or another. Now, in the interim, I saw Blade Runner 2, a.k.a. Blade Runner 2049. If you haven't seen it yet, I guess spoilers. So if you want to jump ahead, I don't know. I'll spend 5 fucking minutes on it. But, so, hang on. I'm a huge Blade Runner. I'm on the way to Flappers, by the way. It's 9:30 at night on a Wednesday. Dark. Driving down Wilshire, Mid-City. Oh, Wilshire, Mid-City. Beverly Hills, not too far from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air mansion in West Philadelphia, born and raised, on a tennis court where I spent most of my days chilling out, relaxing, playing cool. A couple of beers. Oh, I forgot the fucking lyrics. forgot the fucking Fresh Prince lyrics. That's how, you know, I'm flustered, right? I can't even, everyone knows that fucking song. My grandmother knows it. She's dead. Blade Runner. So, huge fan, the original. I better pronounce his name right. It's spelled Denis Villeneuve, but it's pronounced Denis Villeneuve. It's fucking French Canadian. Denis shot Blade Runner 2. Electric Boogaloo. And, I was pretty sure it was going to rock because he's great. I love that thing. I love that guy. That was a perfect choice for it. Blade Runner is a tough movie to make a sequel to. It's very complicated. The script, the original is more, it's more style over substance. It's not, you know, it's supposed to be a detective movie, but it's not very detective-y. The plot's a mess. Half of it has to do with how the movie was shot. Because the production went over and there was all kinds of fucking problems there. So they had to kind of shoot what they could and kind of throw everything against the wall and put it together in editing. So that's why Blade Runner's always, but it kind of worked for it. It made it weirdly, you know, you had to kind of fill in the gaps yourself and it didn't totally explain everything. You know, some of it was left up to you. So I'm hoping they're going to do that with part two. Hang on, let me see my fucking notes. I don't forget that. What's actually lit up in here? The good stuff in it. The guy really got the tone and the atmosphere right. I mean, it really felt like an extension of the original, which was just, it was basically an art house movie masquerading as a fucking kind of a big budget sci-fi movie. It's just very, you know, it's just moody, heavy. I like that every time Denis Villeneuve makes a movie, he dials up his fucking David Lynch one more notch. It really started with Sicario. I really started to notice it. Just music cues and stuff that he did and just how fucking heavy. I'm like, this feels so Lynch. And this felt Lynch Dune, which I fucking love. I love the mood of this motherfucker. It was just, it's really long. I think it's a little too long with 2 hours and 45 fucking minutes. But he really captured the fucking tone, which ain't easy to do. And I was fucking thrilled. It was really cool. Ryan Gosling was perfect because he's playing a robot with not much emotions, which that's basically what he plays in every fucking movie he's in. So that worked. I liked him. His jacket's fucking awesome. Harrison Ford, basically Han Solo from Force Awakens, the same kind of Han Solo, Force Awakens, the same cranky, generally don't want to be there guy, asking himself, what am I doing here, aside collecting a paycheck? Could kind of care less about the material, and seems like he just wanted to get out of the house that day. You know, just kind of showed up, just kind of the you kids get off my lawn, fucking Harrison Ford. I swear, there was just like so many parallels. I'm like, this is fucking Han Solo again. But when the guy really wants to kind of act, man, I mean, he's old and he's not quite as nubile. It's funny, like when he holds that old Blade Runner gun, it just looks so, his arms are so little now. I don't know if, obviously it must have been his choice, but like, I'm not wearing no fucking costume. And he just put on like sweatpants and a shirt. Like, hey, Harrison, can you put on some kind of fucking futuristic costume here? Or at least throw on the old Decker jacket first, for Christ's sakes. But he holds that fucking gun and it's like, the gun's like way too big for his hand because his skinny old arm is all like shaking and shit. I'm just like, oh, he doesn't even look that cool with a gun. But it's nice to see him holding that Blade Runner gun again, right? He always had the coolest guns. Indiana Jones, Han Solo, and Blade Runner. Those are three of the coolest fucking handguns in movie history. It's up there with like RoboCop's fucking gun, right? Just the gun from that fucking that 38 revolver from Indiana Jones just has that super signature fucking gunfire sound, right? It just sounds like a fucking Civil War cannon, that motherfucker. It's great. But like he can do so much with so little, just with his face. Like, I was almost like, get ready, because this guy get thrown in a little faggot. I was almost moved to tears in the one scene, and he barely did anything, but he just did so much emotion with his face. Okay, here's a big spoiler, so if you're still listening and you're worried, jump ahead. There's some very Rogue One-ish effects. They brought back 1982 Sean Young, but the MoCo capture on her was fucking impeccable. Unlike Leia or fucking what's his Grand Moff Tarkin in Rogue One, they really nailed it. I was like, holy shit, they came a long way in two fucking years, because it was her. It was goddamn Sean Young from fucking Blade Runner Run. I was like, holy shit, man, that was pretty good. It wasn't her. It was another actress, and they put a thing over the fucking chick's face, and That was pretty fucking amazing. And what else did I like about it? You know, I really expected to hate Jared Leto. I don't like him, but I didn't love him, but I didn't mind him. I kind of liked his character. Was cool, which helps. The writing was cool for him. But I found myself not minding him. And the flying car, I don't know. It was cool. It captured the vibe. So now, dialing in more specifically, things I didn't like. No one else seems to be bothered by this. I won't spend that much longer on this. No one else seems to be bothered by this, but they use contemporary 20th century pop culture references.
Luke, what the fuck's the problem with that?
Here's the problem. It throws the entire timeline for the fucking movie off. It makes no sense. So he goes to... Now, it's now 2049. I don't. No one seems to be able to wrap. I'm a terrible math. I'm numerically dyslexic. I'm a fucking retard. But no one seems to wrap their head around this math. So you're telling me, in Blade Runner, the original one, obviously it was shot in 83, but the events in the movie take place in like 20 fucking 18 or 19. So it shows Vegas years Elvis in this, as his hologram, which was a really cool scene where they meet and they're in that fucking. Casino in that big casino room shooting at each other was fucking cool with the hologram Elvis on the stage. I mean, I was all about the idea, but to show 1974 Elvis, you're telling me from 74 to 2019, the world changed that drastically? So it's like you're aging. It almost seems like Blade Runner 1. Now, Ridley Scott is already at fault because he should have put the fucking movie. I don't care when the book took place. He should have set the movie 1,000 years ahead. Because it's almost like an alternative universe Earth. It's so fucking drastically different. It's a post-apocalyptic Earth where technology has advanced 500 to 1,000 years, right? How the fuck is it? What, it's only 20 years away? What? That doesn't make any sense. But now they really solidified it by showing like Elvis and Sinatra. I would have had a better time if the movie took place 1,000 years in the future and they were still referencing Elvis. I could have worked with that because at least we had time for this world to get where it is. From 1975 to 2019, what, we have fucking flying cars and off-world colonies and clones and like an unrecognizable... Come on, what the fuck is that about? That pissed me off more than anything. I know it sounds fucking silly, but it took me out of it so bad. I was like, that was a fucking... That felt like a total blunder. I can't believe no one else isn't more pissed about that. I really just fucked everything up. That bothered the fuck out of me. Along the same lines, it was too many iPhone screens. It was too much today tech. I really wanted it to have that fucking cool kind of clunky 80s tech from the first one, which they kind of forgot about that detail. That bugged me. It was like modernity. It kind of looked like a Minority Report kind of shit. I'm like, no. Where's like the mechanical stuff? Where's the fucking, where's like the LCD screens and the dot matrix printers? Like I want the LCD screens and the dot matrix printers and whatever the fuck. That's what I wanted. And they forgot about that part. Too techie. And the interiors, way too fucking lit up. Now, everyone went batshit about the fucking cinematography. I don't see what the big deal was. It looked pretty good. A lot of smoke, a lot of interiors. There's really not a whole lot for him to fucking paint with, you know? I don't know why people are saying this is the best. I thought Skyfall looked 10 times fucking better. And he had way more... this is Roger Deakins I'm talking about. He'll probably win a... We better give him an Oscar before he dies, Oscar, I'm sure, because even though he's been nominated like 3 or 4 times, I'm sure he'll win this year. But I don't. It's kind of like when Scorsese won. Like, really? Scorsese going to win Best Director for The Departed? All the fucking movies in his career, and that's the one he... Really? Come on. Anyways. Interior is too lit up. Fucking Gosling's apartment and the police chief's office were lit up like fucking... You know, like a fucking, I don't know, think of something that's really lit up inside. I don't know. It didn't fit. You watch the original, like Deckard's apartment, is like, you can't even tell what the fuck's going on. He's got like one light on. And this one's just like fucking, I'm like, what was all this light? It's like, we're losing the whole noir element here, man. It's supposed to be fucking dark. They missed that. And Harrison Ford said that this was the best script he ever read. That's why he wanted to do the movie. And I'm like, wow, he's almost 80. This guy's done some fucking movies. For Harrison Ford to say that, carry some goddamn weight. And the script is a disaster. It's if nothing makes sense. There's all kinds of like jettison story, like nothing comes together. It doesn't even how do you make Blade Runner 2 and not even touch the fucking question, was Deckard a replicant? It's never addressed. It's still never told. I'm like, wasn't the whole point of this movie to figure out was Deckard a replicant or not? That's been the argument and the fucking question in film nerd circles for 30 fucking years. You guys aren't even going to address this, huh? Okay. And there's a whole thing about like this, like a replicant uprising that never materialized. It's like, what is going on? It really,
Luke, you just said what you liked about the original was that it was more style over substance.
Yeah, but it would have been nice to have some questions answered. It left more questions, and it just did a lot of weird, just scenes that I was like, that scene was so unnecessary. Like, what are they? I don't know. It was a mess. So, I really liked it. It was a very good sequel in that it captured the mood of the original. It got a lot right. It got a lot wrong. I really want to see it again. I'm going to see it before next episode, and maybe I'll have a better time with it. I think I'll be a little bit more forgiving the second time around, because, you know, it's a classic like that that you're a fucking huge fan of. You expect a lot out of it. So maybe I can let some of that shit go. But it's worth seeing. It's worth seeing in a goddamn theater if you like the original. If you didn't see part one, don't see part two. It will make zero sense. There's a lot of people like, I didn't see part one. Did I see part? Or like went to see it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to see part two. I'm like, did you see part one? They're like, no. And the literally they're sitting there and the credits are about to start. I'm like, okay, well, you're fucked because this is a direct sequel. It's not a Force Awakens fucking reboot. This is even though it doesn't explain the Deckard thing, it's still pretty tied in. Yeah, I think that's it. Blade Runner 2, right? I said 5. I think I spent 10 on that. But what do you want from me? I still got to see that Tom Cruise one. Was it Made in America? Still got to see that. I went to see the movie, and I was struggling. I couldn't even. My eyes are fucked. So I had a harsh reality. I look young. I carry myself young. I don't feel almost 40. But apparently my eyes do. And these are besides my back, which has been fucked for 10 years. My eyes have decided to just stop working like they're supposed to. I can blink my... If I blink my right eye right now, it looks like someone poked me in the eye, in my left eye, and that it never comes back into focus. I have no focus. It's worse at night. It's worse when I'm stressed out and had a long day, then it's really bad. To the point where sometimes at night, it's dangerous for me to drive because I can't... It's like I'm cross-eyed. I can't focus at all. It was really, really getting bad. It's like seriously getting like scary to the point where like I shouldn't be driving right now. What the fuck is going on? I'm like, I'm losing my vision. I'm like, literally, I can't focus my eyes at all. So I went to the fucking optometrist. Never been to one. She keeps going, when's the last time you got... She asked me like 3 times. She's like, well, when's the last time you got your eyes checked? I'm like, I've never been to an optometrist. I've had perfect sight and 20/20 vision my whole life. About a month ago, my left eye started acting up and it's gotten worse and worse. And now it's terrible. Like, I could barely see the fucking screen. I was so pissed. I'm squinting the whole time. I'm like, fuck, I can't get my eyes to focus. I saw it really late at night. I saw it Thursday, opening night, Thursday night at like 10. And I shouldn't have because I was tired and I had a long day and it's almost a 3-hour movie. So probably wasn't the best way to see it. So I went in and got my fight. She's like, around 40 is when people's eyes start going. And I'm like, oh my God. It's like a little man in a suit came running in and was like, excuse me a second, and slapped me in the face. And I was like, it was like reality, the person. That was a stupid analogy, but... yeah, man, I'm, it's starting to get, that's the first thing to go in my eyes. She's like, yeah, you need glasses. So, I got a pair of glasses going. They're making them now. I have a terrible astigmatism in my left eye, is fucked. And she's like, your right eye has been doing all the work for a couple years. She's like, you probably, you know, these things happen gradually, so you don't notice, but, your left eye finally quit. And your right eye is like your good eye, and your left eye is fucked. She's like, it's really... She's like, you have pretty bad astigmatism. I'm like, sweet, great. So now I'm a fucking four-eyed faggot. He's gonna make fun of me. Yeah, I'm gonna run glasses. So don't get old. If you're listening to this and you're like in your early 30s, enjoy it, because shit starts falling apart. Let me tell you something, you fucking crazy kids. I'm driving, what am I here? About a half hour? Yeah, okay. All right, it's going good. The episode's going all right. Think I'm getting fucking back in the old swing of things. Ha! driving to work, as I do every morning. I have to drive from North Hollywood to Marina Del Rey on the worst freeway in America, the 101 onto the 405, the busiest freeway. I can't remember if it's in the world. It's one of the top in the world. It's the worst in the USA. It is the busiest freeway interchange in this country. This is a big goddamn country. So every day, it was so badly designed that the 101, which is like five lanes, cruise from like right to left, distills into one single lane to go 405 south, which is where most people go, and then one single lane to split off onto 405 north. For some reason, going north, which is headed towards like the desert, Valencia, you know, Six Flags, out, you know, by the mountains, out there by the desert, not as much going, you know, people need to go towards, you know, the city and the beach, not the desert. For some reason, that single lane splits off and generally never stops. Cars just fly down it doing 40, you know, miles an hour. There's no problem. While they pass all of us poor fucks in this 405 fucking south merge lane, where thousands of people trying to get out of the valley have to get into one single lane. So as you could foresee, this would create quite a problem and a backup. So every day, now what people try to do, because they don't want to wait in the fucking line, is they wait until the last second and try to cut in the lane. So I did this for the first maybe 2 years. I would, every day I dreaded doing this because I hate it. Because if you try to get in the 405 south lane from either side, most people try to do it, they pretend like they're going to get on the 405 north, and at the last second they try to jump in and get in the southbound lane so they didn't have to wait in all the traffic. And then everyone lays on their fucking horn. You're the asshole. Like, you're trying, no, we all had to wait in this line, and now you're going to jump in at the last minute? No, you're not, motherfucker. Every morning I got to go through this. So I started leaving extra early so I didn't have to be that guy, because I could not take the pressure of trying to do that last second squeeze in where I piss off the guy that's already been waiting and the people behind me trying to go, because they're going off 405 north. They don't need to fucking wait. So everyone lays on their horns. I'm just like, fuck, you know. So I stopped doing it. So now I'm a guy that you ain't getting in. If I just wait in this traffic and now I'm at the fucking, like, at the precipice here, and you're going to try and jump in at the last minute after I just fucking sat in 20 minutes of traffic line? No, you didn't. So this happens every day. And some fucking, it's always some shitball on a fucking Prius too, shocker. They'll just sit there and let cars get in. I'm like, you just sat here like me for the last 20 minutes going 2 fucking feet every 5 minutes, and now you're going to let this fucking piece of shit cut in? You fucking pussy. So the other day, I fucking can't stand it. I want to just get out and fucking kick their fucking tail light out. I'm like, you fucking asshole. Why would you let this guy in? Like, fuck you, you know? So the other day, a guy tried to come in from, like, so the, like I said, it's, this lane has, to, on the driver's side, on the left side, you have all fucking other four lanes of the 101 that just keep going. And then to my right-hand side, you have just that single 405 north lane. So it's even worse when people try to cut in from my right side, because they're holding up that whole lane where all the cars are going like 50 miles an hour. They'll come to a complete fucking stop to try to get into my lane and really fuck everything up. It's even worse. So a little bit of a gap got in between me and the car in front of me. I mean, we're packed bumper to bumper in this lane. And this dude from my right-hand side in the 101 lane side tries to cut in. And there was just enough of a gap where he started nosing his bumper. And I'm like, fuck you. And I stepped on it, jumped up, and I closed the gap. And right as I did, this dude got fucking nailed by a car behind him, probably doing 45 fucking miles an hour. Whoever was behind him was not even looking, going full speed. And this guy was at a complete stop. And he hit him so hard that I thought he hit my car. But it was actually the blast from the impact hit my fucking, like went through my car. I thought he hit me. I'm like, this fucking piece of shit just fucking hit me. Just got fucking totally, his car was fucked, right? So he starts fucking driving, he's just staring at me. So, I mean, like,
Luke, it almost sounds like he caused an accident.
I mean, he caused it. He was trying to get in. He's not cutting in front of me, fucking, you know, you ain't cutting in front of me, motherfucker, you know? The guy behind him wasn't paying attention. It was his fault. But man, this guy got fucked up and his car was destroyed. So I give him enough space to cut in front of me so he can go all the way over to the side of the shoulder and pull over and see if his neck was broken. And there's all kinds of shit hanging out of the back of his fucking car. And I was like, I'm like, if I get out, this guy's gonna fucking probably fight me, because I just, all I had to do was let him in and this wouldn't have happened. But fuck him, you know? So I didn't want to get out and deal with it, but I was pretty sure he hit me. I thought he clipped the front corner of my bumper. So this is how slow this line I'm in every morning goes. Him and the guy that hit him had just enough juice to be able to pull off the freeway over to the side. And I keep going, but we're going so slow, I keep putting it in park and getting out on the freeway and walking around the front of my car trying to see if there's any fucking damage. Because I couldn't tell if he hit me or not. But it turned out it was just, that's how hard that guy's car got hit, was the impact blast. Like, it felt like someone hit my car. I was like, holy shit, that dude was fucked. But I was like, you know what, motherfucker, you don't cut in front of me. You don't cut in front of the fucking kid. The kid that just shrugged, how much was it? This time I had 6 45-pound plates. What is that? Hang on, let me do some fucking quick math. Where's my phone? I don't have people playing on my phone. It's, yeah, I'm actually doing this. 540 pounds. I shrugged 540 for, I think, 8. And I still, nothing. I still have fucking Hillary Swank shoulders. I look like a fucking girl. Who should shrug that much? 6 fucking, 12 plates. I had 6 45s in each fucking size. 6 fucking, 12 wagon wheels, motherfucker. Nothing, right? Fucking bullshit. What do I gotta do? Get fucking implants? Get trap implants? Can I look like fucking... Can I look like Goldberg for a minute? Now I'm gonna complain about women a little bit. So ladies, might wanna go get a beer. I'm sorry. I went to the Karma Lounge, Mike, on Saturday. First one I'd done in, 10 days? It's weird because I used to not do them. I wouldn't do a mic for weeks, and it felt pretty bad. But I mean, it would take a good 2 weeks to be like, wow, I haven't done fucking stand up in a while. Like, I should really. And now it's like, if I go more than like 3 days, I feel like such a fucking piece of shit. I'm like, you, oh my God. It feels like you haven't done it in a month. It's weird. It's getting that routine. It's really hard to fuck it up. That's what I'm saying. So I hadn't done one in a while. And I don't know what. I can't fucking wait. God just hates me. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be in Los Angeles. I never should have come here. There's some kind of force out in the universe trying to fucking stop me at every turn. So the sign up for this fucking thing is at 5:30 or 6, and I never make it on time. So this time it was Saturday. I got all my shit done. I got there at like 4:45, and there's no one in there. Usually, if I get there at 5:15, I'm already like number like 14 of the fucking sign-up. But there's a fucking line of people waiting. This time, of course, I get there early for once, and no one's fucking there. I'm like, is there even a mic tonight? And the guy's like, yeah. So it turns out like 12 people signed up for the whole night, and I was like number 3 or whatever. But I was going to meet Jordan at a party at his chick's house. I'll get to that in a minute. So I had to kill some time anyway. So I'm like number 3. And I'm just having like fucking Jack and Coke. I'm like, oh, I'll just hang out. I'll finish my drink. I'll watch a couple comics. So I go up in front of like fucking 5 people because no one's there. I mean, I finally get a good early slot there. It's usually packed. And fucking no one's there this day on Saturday. So I do my thing. I didn't get much of a whatever. And one woman in this whole place, she's like 50 fucking years old, looks like an old frumpy, dumpy, disgusting, stinky fucking feminist, lesbian, cunt, twat, fucking asshole, and goes up, and it's exactly what she was, a frumpy, dumpy, stinky, fucking liberal, cunt, feminist, bitch, twat, who goes up, which is more and more common now, where they don't even have jokes. It's not about being funny, it's about pushing your fucking, whatever your stupid fucking feminist crybaby fucking pussy stupid agenda bullshit is. And she just gets up and is bitching about Trump, and then she's like, oh yeah, I'm pro-com. No jokes. Not a joke to be had from this fucking frau. So then she starts it on the crowd. She's like, any Republicans in here? Yeah, you? And this guy's like, yeah. So her and this guy get in this debate, and this guy is flooring this woman. She has a, because again, there's no facts, there's no data, there's no research. She's like, well, I'm a teacher. And she's throwing all this shit on. She's like, you know, more people have died in capitalism, then the guy's like, are you insane? He's like, you know the fucking Soviet Union and World War II, and you know how many people fucking died and starved and everything out? Like, you know how fucking terrible what a pox on the planet Earth communism is? Like, where has it ever worked? Just like ripping, and this chick's just trying to come out. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, capitalists are pay. Like, these are like, I just struck my own spit. Like, these are like her comebacks and shit. She had nothing. I'm like, you're an idiot. You're a fucking teacher. Like, you are a fucking, like, an uneducated, fucking, historically inept fucking moron. Like you're just getting up here spewing bullshit you heard on NPR or whatever the fuck, wherever she gets this shit, and just regurgitating her fucking Rage Against the Machine album or whatever. So her and this guy are just going back and forth. Again, not a hint of a joke or comedy or anything else. She just wanted to get on a microphone and just parade her fucking bullshit around. And so they go back and forth. So then the host gets up and he goes, yeah, you could tell because it's liberal LA and they're so like rah-rah fucking liberal and everything else. This lady was not expecting this because every other fucking mic she goes through, this shit sells. But not at this one because there was no one in the fucking crowd that was on this fucking retard side. So then the host gets up and he's like, you know, I'm libertarian. He's like, I'm no kind of hardliner. But he's like, yeah, your facts are a mess. Everything you said was completely inaccurate, not true. So then they start going at it again. And the bartender's like, I don't know, what's that guy's name? I think his name's Igor. He's this old, bitter, like, Greek dude that runs that place. He's like, all right, enough. He's like, enough with the politics. I swear to God. He's like, I fucking shut this mic down. I don't want to hear it. He's like, tell some fucking jokes. I don't want to hear politics. Everybody's like, clapped. I was like, are you happy, lady? Is that what you wanted? You had to get up and show everybody how fucking smart you are and what a rebel you are. Oh, I'm fucking fighting against the establishment. You fucking bore. Stay home. Stay the fuck home and do your fucking laundry. Get your face out of a fucking hairy box and fucking meet a man, fucking asshole. I'm so tired of shit. So, then that night, whatever, that happened. And I go to meet my buddy Jordan Bowers, Penis Powers. He's been on the show a few episodes back if you want to hear him. We had a little... I met him at the... we're driving to Hollywood right now. I'm looking at the fucking Roosevelt. I met him at the Roosevelt, and we tried to do a show down there in the lobby, and they kicked us out, so we went up in his hotel room. And it didn't look suspicious at all. Two grown men walking in a room with a bag full of, a microphone sticking out. It probably looked like a black dildo, but went in his room and had a whole thing. I don't know, what was it, 10 episodes ago, maybe? Good time talking to him. If you want to hear more of this, just like right-wing Republican nonsense, me and him did that and talked about Kurt Russell for about 45 fucking minutes straight. So if you're into that kind of thing, be my guest. It's free. It's on iTunes, right? Anyways, so he lives in Arizona, and he comes here all the time, and he's got an L.A. girlfriend. So he's like, my chick is having a party at her place, and she's going to have a bunch of other girls come over, and you should come because they're single. I'm like, okay. So I wasn't now I thought it was going to be like a kind of a big, like, I'm expecting like 20 people, guys, girls, everything. It turns out it's just me, him, and like seven other gals. I'm like, oh, now his chick's cool. She can hang. I think she's middle of the road. Because Jordan's a pretty hardline fucking, he's a righty. He's a pretty hard righty. But he's a fucking smart dude. He's a fucking sharp guy. He can be like a fucking legit like political commentator. Like, he really researches the shit out of shit. And like, he's not a dummy. And he's not, like I keep touting, he's not an emotional based guy. He bases his fucking opinions on facts and figures and things. But she puts up with it. And she's cool. I like her. I like his chick. So her friends are coming. And there was one she was supposed to fix me up with. Now, if you know about me, one of my famous Lucasms is I hate games and fun. I like hanging, drinking, talking, telling jokes. I don't want to be distracted by things like card games that have rules and things you have to concentrate. I don't want to have to think. I want to just fucking drink and shoot the shit. And live in the moment. I don't want to have to be locked into the rules of a fucking Monopoly game and all this crap. I can't stand it. I don't like games and fun. I don't want it. I want to just hang out and talk. But I mean, I went into it knowing, this is Hollywood Bowl traffic. Come on, Andy, you can't add a Hollywood Bowl. I am so I want to nuke this fucking Hollywood Bowl that was built in 1926, which is now in the middle of all the busiest traffic, and it fucks this entire city up every time there's a fucking concert. I'm waiting in this fucking goddamn traffic again. Are you fucking kidding me? I gotta be to the fucking mic. Oh my God, is there ever, it's fucking Wednesday night, there's a concert again? Is there ever not a fucking concert at this cock-sucking fucking Hollywood Bowl? Kim Jong, send that fucking nuke right in the middle of the fucking stage of this motherfucker. It'll make my fucking day. I don't care if I get fucking vaporized. Oh, great. Now this ambulance is happening. What happened? Was there a fucking stabbing at the show? Fuck me, my cunt. I'm stuck here in Highland. Oh, my God. It's like Times Square traffic. Oh, I just fucked myself. Sorry, I had to sit through that. The fucking levels went off the fucking charts in this goddamn recorder. There's fucking smoke coming out of the microphone. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So, the gal they're gonna she's been telling me, oh, I'm gonna fix it with my friend. She's single and blah blah blah. She's kind of liberal and stuff, but she's an actor. I think you guys will get along. This girl shows up, and it was like, I might as well have been the Ryan Gosling K replicant. There was just zero. It was so cold. Like, this, what, either she just didn't like my, no, I'm not like me, like you hear right now. I was Luke on like six, you know. I had a long day. I was kind of fucking tired. I was just there to hang out with Jordan, really. I didn't really give a shit about this other stuff. It would have been nice to maybe, because that's always the best way to meet a potential chick, is through other fucking people's friends and their chicks, and they introduce you, and that's usually how it works out the best. But I mean, in two, there was just zero, this chick wanted nothing to do with me. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that's not going to fucking work. She's been telling about this broad for months, and I finally meet her, and it's just like, I might as well have been wearing a hat made out of fucking boogers and dog shit. It was just absolutely nothing. So we're sitting around, and then like a couple of her other friends came that were just like, I don't know, something like that. They were nice, but I wasn't particularly attracted to them or anything like that. And I know I'm not Clark Gable myself, I'm just saying, objectively speaking. They were all right. And then this woman shows up, this fat, shaped like a beach ball, Latina or whatever she was. And she was one of the most obnoxious human beings in recent memory. The minute she walked in the door, we looked at each other and were like, oh my God, this is going to be a fucking long night. And this chick was so obnoxious. She was like a theater kid, just constantly singing, just loud. Like, her voice was like ear-splitting. And she was so loud, and she would laugh. She was just, this fucking chick wanted attention so bad. Oh, she was so annoying. And like me and Jordan get together, and we're just like simpatico comically, and like we're so fucking quick around each other. We fucking drop shit, and like, I don't know, we were just funny, and we were dropping like great fucking one-liners and shit. Like, they would say something, because like we're fucking men and we're smarter and funnier, and we would just fucking, whatever they would say, we would drop some fucking thing that was hilarious, and it would just get a zero in that room. They fucking hated us. These women absolutely, it was like girls' night, and we were there. We were like fucking collateral damage. Like, what the fuck are these two doing? It'd be like if we were fucking having like a poker game, you know, a bunch of dudes with cigars and shit in those little visors, and then like a couple of the wives showed up to hang. It was like that, but like the reverse, you know what I mean? It was awful. I'm like, like I said, I he's one of my good buddies, so I like hanging out with him. The rest was a distraction. But this one chick shows up. She's like 5'11", really pretty. You know what she looked like? I told him, he was like, fuck, you're right. She looked like new scene indie chick. You know, like when Scarlett Johansson first started coming around, you're like, who the fuck is she? She just has this chick had this look to her. She wasn't smoking hot, but she was pretty, and she had like, she looked like not from LA. She looked very Midwestern. And just, she said hi. Her name was Killian, and she was Irish. She was black Irish. And she shook my hand, and this bitch had a fucking grip. Like, she could rip a fucking hitch off a pickup truck. Like, I was like, this bitch does a fucking day's work. I like this fucking girl. And she was fucking, she had kind of a deep voice. She just carried herself like she fucking meant business. I liked her. She sat right next to me. And I tried everything. And just a nothing from this chair. You know what even sucked? The only chair left at the table. I mean, these are things that, like, I notice. And I was just like Fredo in Godfather 2. Remember how prone and vulnerable he is in the scene in the sun porch or whatever, where him and Michael have the official falling out, and Fredo's all leaned back in the chair, you know what I mean? Just like completely vulnerable and just a total helpless. The way he's framed and everything to make him look like this fucking helpless baby, and then Michael's just standing over him dominating. That's how I'm in his chair, and I'm sitting like way lower than her. She's sitting higher than me, and I just look like a fucking pussy faggot Fredo, desperately trying to make conversation with this fucking chick, and it just was going nowhere. And I'm like, can I just fucking just once? Can I something happen with something with a vagina? Just once? Why is this so fucking hard? What am I doing wrong? God damn it! I was trying to be sweet and charming and funny and quick. And just nothing. Just, I am fucking pussy repellent in this fucking city. I might as well be a fucking leper. Fuck. Nothing, right? Nothing. I went home. So I wasn't going there to like, oh man, I'm going to get lit. Nothing. I just, you know, I was kind of hoping, yeah, maybe I'll meet one of her friends and that'll be cool. But just to absolutely just drag through shit and just leave completely empty handed and scorned, basically. And I was just, I went home so fucking depressed. I wanted to fucking blow my brains out. I'm like, what is the point of anything I do ever? None of it adds up to shit. Nobody, I'm an insignificant fucking navel lint in the belly button of Los Angeles. Fuck. It was awful. I was, and then the next day I'm like, I'm moving home. I'm gone. I'm just leaving. There's nothing for me here. What am I doing? Fuck everything. I've had it. That was terrible. That was a fucking mess. But I tell you, it's rough out there. I got through the Hollywood Bowl traffic. Okay, I'm on the freeway. It wasn't that bad, but that fucker's going to let out in a minute, and it's going to be apocalypse over there. So, yeah, but that fucking fetching, I mean, we were just like, the things we were texting, I couldn't even tell you on the air the things that we were texting. We were sitting right next to each other, me and him, and we're just, the shit she would say, we would look at each other and be like, oh my fucking God, this is why men run shit. Because of this. I tell you, it's like we were trapped in a fucking, what's her name? The chick that made The Intern. What's that fucking broad's name? It made all those boring rom-com chick. Like, it was like we were stuck in one of those movies. It's just the dumb chick humor. And, you know, that cutesy conversation. We're just like, it was torture. Torture, motherfucker. Oh. Aren't I a fun guy to listen to? God, I can't believe anyone would give a shit if this fucking podcast movie. But you not want to hear an earful of rage every fucking week from just a fucking stupid alpha male from Italian from the fucking East Coast is just over everything. How pleasant, right? But at least you can listen and go, well, that's not me. At least I'm not like that guy. I feel better about myself. Maybe that's my role in life. Maybe that's what I'm here as a crutch for you to go, oh, I'm not that. I'm doing better than him, right? Lastly, I'll leave you with this, as the comics say. I just completely blew my throat out. Now I gotta get up and do a mic and try to get my fucking wits about me. It's really hard to do this and go right to a mic because I can't get out of fucking ranty podcast mode. But I don't know, last time I did one to Flappers, it went really good. I had an Abraham Lincoln fact off. It was the best set I had in there in probably 6 months. I fucking, I made everyone laugh several times. It was great. It was all the shit I was just winging. Whatever. Nobody gives a fuck. Shut up. I'm really enjoying doing stand-up. I really fucking turned a corner with it, and I'm quite enjoying myself, all right? There you go. There's a sprinkle of positivity. There's a little ray of sunshine through the clouds. Even when I do bad, I still have fun, which is kind of what I... Oh, fuck. I was supposed to get off there. Fucking stupid asshole. Just missed my exit. I'm doing... as you probably know, I work on most weekends on Mr. Kevin Pollak's chat show, which is one of my favorite podcasts that I listened to for years, and now I get to work on it and go every week and sit and watch it live, which is fucking quite a goddamn honor. And they had Jason Robards' kid on, Sam Robards. I don't know what he does. You know what? I was there for the fucking interview. I couldn't even tell you what the point of the guy was. Maybe he was just one of Kevin's poker buddies. But anyways, you know, Sam Robards' kid, Jason Robards' kid. Frank T.J. Mackey from Magnolia. So, we're sitting around, and the interview was going okay, and I texted my man, J-Mac, up at top, and I said, he does most of the research for the show, and I was like, oh, shit, man, you should have asked him if he had any Sam Peckinpah stories, because his father, Jason Robards, was in The Ballad of Cable Hogue, Peckinpah movie, right? And Peckinpah's one of my favorite directors, just an absolute madman, drunk, crazy, pistol-packing, fucking drug-addled maniac who made some of the best, most violent years, decades ahead of their time movies, like The Wild Bunch, like The Getaway, one of my favorite fucking films of all time. Wild Bunch is one of the fucking greatest movies ever made. I don't give a shit. It's just fucking, the movie's awesome. 1969, just apocalyptic, rage, western, fucking great, right? Just a lot of old men laughing at dumb shit. Old men laughing at dumb shit. And drunk, shooting Mexicans. But, I texted him that. He goes, well, ask Jamie, who's kind of the co-host of the show and almost Mrs. Pollock, who can interject and ask questions. He goes, why don't you text Jamie and ask her? So he must have asked her. So she texted me. We're all sitting in this while the show's going on. Just like five of us sitting in the Westside Comedy Theater. And she goes, what do you want? And I go, if you get a chance, I'm like, it's probably inside baseball, no one gives a shit, but if there's a lull in the conversation or you get a chance to, if they start talking about it, ask him if he has any Peckinpah stories. So literally at one point in the show, the conversation kind of, he goes, I think we're out of questions. I don't know what else to ask you. And she goes, our intern here, Luke, has a question. He's a big Sam Peckinpah fan. He wants to know if you have any Peckinpah stories. You can hear this whole episode, Kevin Pollak, Chatcher, Free Attitudes. But it also streams live YouTube day of. He goes, actually, I do. He's like, my dad did Cable Hogue with Peckinpah. And right after the... I think it was right before the Sharon Tate murders, the Manson family. He's like, my dad lived in Malibu. And this is when Sam wasn't having a great time. This is a legendary time where he lived in this shitty, like, just shack out in Malibu. I mean, he was still like a Hollywood director, but he was just a fucking mess. And he was divorced. And he lived in some shitty, like, trailer. Like, in the back of, like, a fucking 7-Eleven or something. Fucking out in Malibu, right? On the PCH. Over by where I go to the beach all the time, right? There's a lot more was going on there in the 60s. It was way more swinging art community, hippie vibe out there. I don't think that was quite as expensive, but a lot of celebrities live there. So I can't remember if it was before. I'll say, just for the sake of the story, it was right before the Sharon Tate murders. No, it was after. It was after. Because they found this list, this death list of people. I know McQueen was on it, but there was a to-kill list that they found from the Manson family. Obviously, there was, you know, they all got arrested, but there was still a bunch of them out there. And Peckinpah's name was on it. It came out in the press. They're like, yeah, we found this. Like, remember when they went to Bin Laden's compound and they found all that fucking porn or whatever the fuck? They found this thing, and they were like, yeah, there's like a celebrity death list. So Peckinpah's name's on it. So he's already a fucking paranoid, drug-addled mess. So he starts carrying around this briefcase. This is all according to Sam Robards. Jace Robards, kids. It's a briefcase that had two loaded 38s in it and started carrying it everywhere he went in case the fucking Manson family came after him. So he's living in this fucking trailer out there, and one night these people break in while he's in there. They don't know he's in there. He's asleep, and this fucking group of people try to break in to rob it. So he takes both the fucking guns and comes out and sticks all these fuckers up that are trying to break into his fucking trailer and rob him. And he's like, what the fuck are you... He's like ready to blow him away, right? He's crazy. He's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? So he starts talking to him, and they're talking, and then he starts kind of feeling... They tell him that they're like, oh, yeah, we're out of money. We're broke. We don't want to rob people, but this and that. So then he's like, all right, well, why don't you guys come inside for a drink? So he invites them in for a drink. These people that were trying to rob him starts hanging out with him. They start partying. They go on a Peckinpah's thing. They all get drunk together. Guess what happens? Peckinpah passes out, and they proceed to rob him anyways while he's asleep. Took his guns and robbed his entire trailer. Robbed him fucking blind. After all that, he told the fucking story so well. I remember he's coming to the end of the story. He's like, yeah, they robbed him, and both fucking Pollock and his chick both turned around, look at me, and gave me like a good question face. It was great. It was awesome. It was probably, I'm not gonna lie, might have been the high point of the interview, but you can hear them say. Our intern, unheralded associate producer Luke Question. I got a little shout on that episode. So, yeah, who gives a shit? Yeah, I'm name dropping. Whatever. I'm fucking. Just trying to stay alive, folks. Just trying to keep the old feet moving out here. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to keep the old noose from around my neck. I want to end up like fucking, what's his name in Shawshank Redemption? What the fuck's his name? The librarian that hangs himself? Briggs was here. What was the guy's name in the movie? Fuck. And in the book? God damn it, it's a classic reference, and I can't remember. Jesus Christ, lady. She's crossing the street with a fucking cane in the middle of busy-ass Magnolia Boulevard. Bitch, I'm just gonna fucking run over. You can't even see her. Stupid. So that's that. All right, the show's still going. If all, probably four of you give a shit. Sorry if I scared you and took away your entertainment. I mean, who would want to miss out on this every week, right? It'd be a real fucking hole in your life, wouldn't it? So, I don't know. I'll get some shit together and, I'll see. I don't know if it's going to be quite as on schedule because it's just getting harder and harder to do this on Wednesday because it's just for my fucking life. It's just getting, and that was one thing I would just dread doing. Like, I gotta do it tonight, gotta do it. I don't feel like doing it, but I gotta do it tonight. So maybe I'll loosen it up a little bit. I'll do it on Thursday or something instead and move the day and just do it when I have the time and I'm in, not forcing myself to do it. Won't feel like such a goddamn labor, right? Do you ever hear anyone, does anyone else struggle this much with their creative stuff and just make it such a torture for them? It's supposed to be fun, this stuff. You know, it is until it gets into a routine. And then sometimes it starts to feel worse. That mic the other night, it's out in Canoga Park, Schoonerville, this bar, but it's got a nice stage. It actually it's got a good crowd in there. It's usually a good handful of real people, and they're like really receptive. I'm like 2 for 2 in there where I did really good and had a good fucking time. But we got there, and it was just like fuck, sports, 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 just giant TV screens every fucking where, like 10, you know, like fucking 10 TV screens, like 60-inch TV screens, with some kind of, like the game was so in stereo, it sounded like you were in the fucking ballpark. It was a Dodgers game. And it was like echoing from all the TVs being on, and there's a good fucking 20 people in there watching the shit out of this game. It was just, there was no music or anything going. It was just, everyone's dialed in on this baseball game. Like, cool, I can't wait for the mic to start in an hour and ruin everybody's fucking good time to watch the baseball game. And I don't know, I was just tired. It's a long drive, dude. Marina Del Rey out there to deep Canoga Park. So I got there and I was just fucking tired. I did not want to be there. I'm like, God damn. But then Mr. Eric Rocha was there, Mr. Chris Dunham, two of my open mic fucking pals. And they were already there shooting pool. And at one point, I'm sitting next to fucking Rocha. And I was like, tonight just feels like work. Because it was just, you could tell the whole vibe in the place was dead. Like, no one wanted a comedy show. We didn't want to interrupt everyone's, I mean, it just sucks. That's not, you know, you want to do stand-up for people that want to see comedy. You don't want to ruin their good time at a bar on a fucking Monday night after they worked all day and they want to go home and just watch the fucking game. They don't want to hear my fucking stupid dick jokes and shit. But I was just like, it just feels like work. I'm just going to go. I'm fucking tired. I'm hungry. I'm just going to go home. But I already drove out there. But it ended up being fucking great. It was awesome. We all had a good time. The people were like really cool. They just turned the volume. Whatever. It turned out to be good. I was glad we did it. But I don't know. We'll see how tonight goes, I guess, right? Because I'm almost there. I'm in fucking Burbank and almost the goddamn Flippers. So I think I fucking covered everything. Whatever, how much longer I'm going to go anyways. But I don't know. Thanks for sticking around. I'll see you next week at some point. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Out where the stones lay like bones by the ocean. Out where the waves crash contempt on the land. Someone was trembling for fear of the tempest. Somebody silently reached for their hand. Said, understand that if you're cold, I'll keep you warm. And besides, there's so much beauty in a storm, so come down with me to the shore. And what's more, I adore you. So tell me, what is there to fear? You think some seraph up above is trying to rob us of our love? Because the sky's not clear, my dear, you know there's not. Now listen to the rain upon the rooftop. The stones stand up like thrones beside the ocean. How where the waves make a grave of the sea. The lovers struggled in the middle of the tempest, and water angrily crawled up onto the beach. Said, hold my hand and stay with me, we'll be released. But the tide clung like an anchor to her feet, and though he tried to make the waterline recede and pull her out into the sea, he could not break apart. To bring her safely back, and he watched her hand break through the surface once, then disappear again, forever inside the sea. For me, my dear, I hear you. You speak in every curve.